All right, we're going to turn this morning to the unusual text of 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. Fortunately for you, that's not the genealogy. Yeah, nuts. 2 Chronicles 26. And this is a portion of Scripture describing part of King Uzziah's reign. Not Uzzah, but Uzziah. 26:15. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwark, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. His name was spread abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And Azariah the priest went in before him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be to thine honor from the Lord God. Excuse me. Then Uzziah was wroth, had a censer in his hand to burn incense, and while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was a leprous in his forehead. They thrust him out from thence. Yea, himself hasted to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. Notice in verse 18, those 80 priests plus Azariah withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, It appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah. Let's pray. Now, Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these folks that came out to church this morning. And we're glad for your goodness to us. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're going to talk about this morning, Father, is some things that Jesus Christ left us here with. We are stewards of the mysteries of God. Father, you've given us a commission and an exhortation. Pray you'd help us to properly understand it, Father. May we not be thwarted from these things. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this, of course, is one of the moral tragedies of that is all too common with the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. Here, King Uzziah, in verse 15, says he does some things, and he does that, and he's faithful to God. The Bible says until, verse 15, till he was strong. Then in verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. I'll tell you this, folks, you have to be careful. When you get strong, I mean, sometimes the way this works is somebody gets right or somebody gets saved, say a couple months ago or whatever, and a lot of the stuff in your life begins to smooth out, and the Lord straightened out some of the issues, and things smooth out a little bit, and it looks like things are getting better, and so you begin to ease back, if you're not careful, into the old life that you came out of, so when you're strong and comfortable, that's when you backslide, right? Now, it says in verse 16 through 20 there that King Uzziah decided it was all right for him to go into the tabernacle, into the temple, and to burn incense upon the altar of incense there. And it wasn't okay, folks. He paid the price for that. He wound up a leper till the day of his death, right? Now, folks, that is a sin of presumption, right? Somebody presumes to do something they ought not do. I want you to know the Bible is filled with sins of presumption. I mean, folks, you talk about Eve, right? She presumed to change the Bible to her own destruction, right? You have Cain who presumed to bring his own kind of sacrifice instead of the sacrifice that God wanted him to bring, correct? You have Moses killing the Egyptian. You have Nadab and Abihu building strange fire into the Lord, again, over an incense altar. Folks, the Lord was really interested in that incense altar. It's a type of prayer, right? And all these things happened and all these things went on and on. That is the reason why, in part anyway, you have a Bible with about 1,500 pages in it. It's to keep you from committing a sin in presumption against God. Now, I want to talk to you for a little while about that this morning. Folks, I know you probably know this in your minds and hearts. The things of God today are just as holy as the things of God then, right? And, you know, I can't say that God is going to judge you with the sin of leprosy if you commit a presumptuous sin against Him. But I know this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I do not want to commit a sin of presumption if I can help it, right? I certainly don't want to happen to me what happened to him in verse 26. Do you? Verse 20 and 21. I do not want leprosy. I don't know if the Lord smites folks with leprosy these days or not. You know, it seems to me that King Uzziah would have had plenty to do as a king, you know, just taking care of kingly things, right? Now, you know, we get tempted to do things sometimes. I'll tell you how I go to bed usually. I usually go to bed thinking, you know what? I didn't get that done or that done or that done. Well, I wish I... Sometimes, in other words, I go to bed feeling like I haven't gotten done what I was supposed to get done, much less do I have time to get off into presuming to do things I ought not be doing, right? So with that in mind, I'd like to say that one of the things you have to watch for in this life is presumptuous sins. Now, you know, the heroes in this passage are down in verse 17 and 18. Azariah the priest, and there are 80 priests of the Lord there that went in with him. They stood shoulder to shoulder with him, and they said, King Uzziah, you have got to get out of here. This appertaineth not unto thee. You are taking some things on yourself that are not right. You need to go get out. King Uzziah got mad. While he was mad, the leprosy rose up in his forehead, right? Now, folks, these priests are heroes in the passage. They are the valiant priests. And I want to say this morning that their role is played these days in modern America by some folks that are not so valiant, by some folks that are not so consecrated, by some folks that are not so holy. I tell you what I'm getting at this morning. I, as a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, am accused or maybe thought all the time by various folks in our community around and so on to have committed presumptuous sins. There are things that I do that they believe do not appertain to me. Right? For instance, you are shoving your religion down everybody's throat. Who do you think you are? Judge not, lest ye be judged. Right? You are negative. You are skeptical. Nobody can know they are saved, say they. See, they say that it appertains not to me to know that I'm saved. It appertains not to me to tell you what God said. Right? I want you to know that the title of this message this morning is It Appertains to Me. I just want to make sure and clear the air this morning. There are some things that do appertain to me. And I want you to know they appertain to you too. We are a priesthood of believers, right? There is no clergy class. There is no lady class. You are as much a priest unto God as I am. We are all called to preach the gospel. We're all called to do certain things. And I want you to know, for all the folks and for all the folks that think ill of us sometimes for doing what we do in the community as far as putting out gospel tracts, for praying like we pray, for singing what like we sing, for judging the things that we judge, I want you to know it does appertain to me. The title of the message this morning is It Appertains to Me. And I want you to know it appertains to me to know that I am saved. It appertains to me. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, right? This is the record, that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, right? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. I want you to know, I know I am saved. Folks say nobody knows they're saved. You can't know that you're saved. You know, it seems odd to me that folks would defend that the way they defend it. Does it not you? I mean, folks, usually that position is defended with bared teeth. venom dripping off the canines right there. You know, rah! You can't know you're saved. I spit there. Enjoy that. You can't know you're saved. I want you to know it appertains to me to know that I am saved. I want you to know it appertains to you. Now, I've talked about this a lot the last few weeks because of eternal security in Sunday school and so on, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time with it, but I know I'm saved. I know when I got saved. I know how I got saved. I know the one who saved me. I know the details of it. I know what He promised when I trusted Christ as my Savior, and I have on paper what He said happened. It appertains to me. It appertains to me to know that I am saved. A lot of you came from backgrounds in religion where if you stood up at Thanksgiving and said, "Great glory to God, I know that I'm saved," you'd be shouted down like that, right? You'd be thought a crazy man or a crazy woman. I want you to know it appertains to me to know that I'm saved. You can know, you should know. In fact, if you don't know, I would suggest you find out how to get saved. It's always impressed me that folks are so self-interested. You know, they think of themselves all the time, right? And yet in the one thing where God says, be self-interested, make sure you take care of one thing in this life, make sure you get saved and trust Christ as your Savior, make sure of that one thing, all of a sudden, nobody's self-interested anymore. They're worried about the heathen that never heard, and they say, well, nobody can know you're saved. Let me ask you a question. Do you know you have life insurance? Do you have life insurance? How do you know you have life insurance? Well, I have a piece of paper. That's what I got. I got a piece of paper. Right? Do you have... How do you know what the interest rate is on your mortgage for your house? Well, I got a piece of paper. That's what I've got. I've got a piece of paper. Right? You go to the bank with your certificate of deposit, hand them that certificate and say, I want cash for that. Presumably, if you went to the right bank, they'll give you cash for it. Right? The reason is because you have the paper. Now look, folks, folks say, all you have is a Bible. It's just words written on a piece of paper. That's exactly what you have with the interest rate on your mortgage. That's exactly what you have with a CD. It's exactly what you have with a life insurance policy. And I want you to know, just as much as you know you have a life insurance policy or auto insurance, I know that I'm saved. I have a piece of paper. Right? It appertains to me to know that I am saved. I want to say, secondly, it appertains to me to seek and to find the truth myself. Now, once again, a lot of you folks were born and raised in a religion, and when you started sniffing out salvation and started thinking about moving to the Independent Baptist Church up the street where that redneck preaches all the time and all that stuff, some of your mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters thought you were nuts, right? You know what they thought? They thought you had no right. I mean, after all, you were born and raised in this religion. You were baptized in this religion, right? And you had all these things going in this religion. It was good enough for your mother. It was good enough for your father. It was good enough for grandma. It was good enough for grandpa. It's good enough for your brothers. It's good enough for your sisters. Why isn't it good enough for you? You have no right to go against the traditions of this church. This church was founded on Peter or whomever. You have no right to do that. You are wrong. It appertains not to you to do what you're doing. You say you can go out and discover the truth from the Bible outside of the Catholic Church or outside of the priesthood. Honey, don't you understand? The priest tells us what to believe. And that's what we believe. The rabbi tells us what we should believe. The imam tells us what we should believe. I want you to know something. It behooves every man, woman, and child here to search the truth out for yourself. It appertains to me to seek and find the truth myself. You say, why do you say that? Because every man shall give account of himself to God. I'm told that every single man, woman, and child will one day stand before God, if nowhere else, at a great white throne judgment. And you know what? If I've got to stand before God, and if I have to give account of myself before God, I got to make sure that what I believe is the right thing. It behooves me to go find out for myself whether this thing is true. You know, there are folks in this country, folks. There are Christians in this country. In fact, I was out in Bismarck. I made it one lady kind of upset at me in Bismarck, but she's upset at Brother Spencer Baker out there all the time anyway. And she came up to me afterwards and she said, "You cannot say that somebody goes to hell for sure." I said, "Yes, I can." She said, "No, you can't. It says somewhere in the Bible you can't know." I said, "Well, ma'am," I said, "you know, I'm not going to stand here and argue with you. You're one of Brother Baker's parishioners, and I'm not going to argue with you. But if you want to show me that verse, I'd be happy to read it. I've read it through several times, and I've never been able to find that verse, you know." She just kind of stormed off, you know. But that's a fact, folks. A lot of folks will say, "Well, you know, the Bible teaches this," and then nobody goes and looks to see if the Bible teaches that, right? That's what got you in trouble as a Lutheran. That's what got you in trouble as a Catholic all those years. You believe what somebody else says. Now, folks, I want you to know it behooves a man. It appertains to me. I am a priest before God. I am part of the priesthood of believers. It appertains to me to find out the truth for myself. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. I'm the one that has to stand before God and answer to God. I'm the one that has to stand before Jesus Christ one day and answer for Jesus Christ. You will too. I don't want to go up there and say, "Well, my preacher said so." How well is that going to work? Amen? It behooves you, it appertains to you to seek and find the truth yourself. Your church cannot save you. Your church is not going to answer at judgment. I am not going to answer at judgment for you. I'll answer for the things I taught you. I'll answer for, if I misled you, I'll answer for my misleading of you. Right? But you will answer for what you believe. You will answer for what you did, what you do, what you shall do. You give answer before, every man shall give account of himself before God. I don't think I'm going to be called to answer for you. And I don't think you'll be called to answer for me. It appertains to me to find the truth myself. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Search the Scriptures, says Christ. For in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. It behooves you to find the truth yourself. Right? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Next thing I want to say, you know, I turn to Matthew chapter 7 real quick. One of the pet peeves of our day, right? Matthew chapter 7. While you're turning to Matthew 7, turn as well to Luke chapter 12. And while you're turning, go ahead and, with your third hand there, Philippians 1. All right, first of all, Luke chapter 12, let's go down to verse 56. "Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. How is it that you do not discern this time? Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right?" Look in Philippians 1, verse 9. Here's the Apostle Paul praying for me and you, right? "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment." Now you can turn to Matthew 7. Folks, I know there is this universal rule in Christianity these days. In fact, every reprobate you know can quote this verse. In fact, sometimes even the most consecrated Christians that you may know will agree that it is unchristian to judge. You cannot judge somebody else, or you cannot judge something because it's not Christian, it's not your place. It appertaineth not unto thee, right? Look in Matthew 7, 1. "Judge not that you be not judged. Like I said, folks, every reprobate that you know can cite Matthew 7:1. If he doesn't know another verse in the whole Bible, now he may know that verse about take a little wine for thy stomach's sake, but if he can't cite another verse in the whole Bible, he will know, judge not that you be not judged, right? He will know that verse. And you know, the fact of the matter is, folks, it's really sad folks don't read, is it not? I mean, I know what the rest of Matthew 7 says. They tell me that it appertains not to me to judge them or to judge things or to say this, that, or other is wrong or ungodly or an abomination. They say, judge not lest ye be judged. See, I know what the rest of Matthew 7 says. It's right before you. Matthew 7 does not teach you not to judge. Matthew 7 says, make sure you get that big honker of a fence post out of your eye before you go to try to help somebody get some little speck out of their eye, right? Judge yourself first. Take care of big things first before you start messing around somebody else's life over little things, right? That's the context of judge not, that you be not judged. Now listen, folks, the Bible says this. It says, prove all things. It says, furthermore, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. It says over in Revelation chapter 2 that a group of people were commended for the fact that they tried those that said they were apostles and were not. They found those apostles wanting. And they said, you know what? You guys are not apostles. You're imposters. Now beat it. Get out. You're wicked. Go, right? I want you to know it appertains unto me to judge matters in this life. And again, you get a constant barrage all the time about not judging another Christian, not judging this, not judging that. Well, you can't judge me, and you can't judge this, and you can't judge that. I'm telling you, judge. Prove all things. Try the Spirit. You're supposed to judge whether something is right or wrong, good or an abomination. You're supposed to judge. It appertains to me to judge matters in this life. Here's the deal, folks. They want you to accept the Sodomite agenda. And so they say, well, you can't judge whether that's right or wrong or not. It's just not your place, right? They want you to, they want you to accept the charismatic wicked spirits. And they want you to not judge them for that. They want to live like they want to live. They want to commit adultery. They want to drink and carry on like a bunch of dogs and cats. And they don't want to be judged by you. They don't want to hear it. And so they say it appertains not unto you to do so. I want you to know it appertains to me. Look, they want me even for Christians to accept their dirty lifestyles. They want me to accept their dirty music. They want me to accept environmentalism. They want me to accept rock and roll and pierced and tattooed body parts. They wish for me to accept all kinds of wickedness and abomination. You got the wrong guy. I'm just not interested. I don't know about you. I quit a long time being driven under the couch every time somebody says, oh, judge not. I don't die for the couch anymore. Look, folks, I'm supposed to judge whether things are right or wrong in this life. I'm called to do it. If you ever decide it's not your place to judge, then don't go through any stoplights. Because if you can't judge between green, yellow, and red, just don't drive. Right? You are called to judge. It's stupid to say don't judge. It's stupid to say don't judge. Now look, folks, I'm not talking about I have a gavel and a brick, and I get to bang the gavel and throw a brick at somebody. I'm not saying that, but I can tell you what I can say. I can say you're wrong for living like you're living. It's a bad example. It's abomination before God. This thing you're doing is wrong. This was a mistake that you made, right? I can say that, and you can say that to me too, right? But I want you to know it appertains to me to judge things in this life. It appertains to me. I am I'm a child of God. I'm a husband. I'm a father. And I'm a pastor as well, right? Furthermore, I am a friend. I'm a friend of most of you guys. Some of you aren't my friends, but whatever. Some folks would disagree, but I'm also a patriot, by the way. I counsel folks. I'm a counselor. I am a confidant to many of you. There are things that some of you have told me that by the grace of God, I will never tell anybody else, right? I'm a steward of the mysteries of God. And you know what? As all those things, I have certain interests to protect, right? I mean, if I'm a pastor and a husband and a father, my kids, my wife, and my church, those are things I'm interested in protecting. And you say, judge not, judge not. No, no, I'm going to judge. I'm the watchstander here. I'm the steward here. I'm the one that's supposed to stand and watch for the protection of those things. Don't tell me not to judge. It appertains to me. I'm a shepherd, I judge. I'm a father, I judge. I'm a husband, I judge. I'm a father. When some long-haired, scruffy boy comes around wanting to date Anna, I'm going to judge. When that girl back there started trying to date my son, I judged her, boy. I'm just kidding. Now she's going to give me grandkids. I'm still trying to come to grips with that. But look, folks, I have a holy God. I found out about a holy God from the Holy Book. I have a holy commission, and I'm indwelt by a Holy Spirit. Right? Now, I want you to know it is my job. I'm just doing my job. That's all I'm doing. It's my job to judge. I'm not talking about as a pastor. I'm talking about as a Christian, as a man. It appertains to me. I'm just doing my job. That's all. Next time somebody says, oh, judge not, you say, oh, you know, I've got a license. This is just my job. I'm just judging because I have to. I'm just doing my job. Just say that. It appertains to me. It appertains to me to judge things in this life. I want you to know this too. It appertains to me to inquire after your soul. Okay? And you know what folks say? Well, that's none of your business. That's private information. We're not interested. If I wanted to hear this stuff, I'd come to church. Right? You stand on somebody's doorstep. It's always funny to me, you know, you meet Christians, quote-unquote Christians on a doorstep, and those Christians tell you that they are Christians, but they don't appreciate you coming to their doorstep to ask about whether they're saved or not. And it's like, this appertaineth not unto thee. That's what I mean from the start, folks. You know, the Azariah, the priest, and those fourscore priests, their place in this little play here is played out now by folks that are nowhere near the valiant men they were. The guys that say it now are backslidden Christians. The folks that say it now are people that do not love God. They say, this appertains not to you Christians to do. I want you to know it appertains to me to inquire after your soul. You know, you say, well, I don't appreciate you doing it at the dinner table. Okay, we'll do it in the park. I don't appreciate you doing it on the street. Okay, where would you appreciate me doing it? Well, if I wanted to hear it, I'd come to your church. But you don't come to my church. And I'm called to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. So I tell you what, I'll come to your work and I'll sit across the table from you and I'll ask you whether you're going to heaven or hell. Right? How well is that going to work? My point, ladies and gentlemen, is it does appertain to me to inquire after your soul. It does appertain to me. If you are a Christian, that is what you should be doing. Again, you know, you meet Christians, quote-unquote Christians, on a doorstep or on the street who tell you, oh, yeah, you know, I'm saved, but at our church, we don't do what you people do. We believe in Christ, but we don't believe in going out and shoving it down other people's throats. Well, I want you to know it appertains to me. I'm just doing my job. All right? It appertains to me to inquire after your soul. Can I ask you a question? Those of you that are here, when's the last time that you were really offended by somebody saying, hey, are you saved? Why would you be offended? Hey, are you saved? I mean, Brother Grissom was a Marine. I wonder how many Marines in America in the last 20 years, somebody's walked up and said, are you a Marine? And the Marine went, no, I ain't. Never happens, right? Are you a Marine? Yes, sir, I'm a Marine, right? I mean, it's rah-rah, I'm a Marine. Are you a Christian? When's the last time I've been offended by somebody asking me if I was a Christian? It's crazy to think that, right? If you were a Minnesota Viking, I understand. But it appertains to me to ask, to inquire after your soul. Have you been born again? Yes, I have. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Yes, enthusiastically, I do. It is my job to ask you whether you have, right? And it's your job to ask the guy across the aisle if he is too. You know what? I know we know each other well here and all that, but it's not going to hurt anybody's feelings, I think, if everybody on that side of the church asked everybody on this side of the church if they were saved. Is anybody going to be offended over here? Any of you guys going to be mad? We do it. If you guys, we divide in the middle and you guys ask everybody over there, look, have you ever been born again? Anybody over here going to be mad? Then why is everybody mad out there when they say they are indeed believers? Why is everybody mad? Sounds to me like somebody's not really a believer. I want you to know, though, it appertains to me to ask after your soul. It does. I want you to know, furthermore, it appertains to me to preach the gospel to every creature. Look in Acts chapter 4. Acts 4. And again, these priests stood, and they stood shoulder to shoulder, 81 of them, and said, look, King Uzziah, you need to get out of here. You're in the wrong spot. You're doing wrong. Beat it. Go. And they were right. They were valiant men. They did the right thing. I want you to know their place today, as it's played out in our society, is held by much less valiant men. It's held by reprobates and atheists and agnostics, backslidden Christians in many cases, and they're trying to shut you up. They're trying to keep you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. And they will shame you by saying, this appertaineth not to you. You have no right. This is not your place. It's not your place to judge. It's not your place to ask. It's not your place to say that. And it is your place. And you and I can say what King Uzziah could not say. It appertains to me. You shut up, sit down. It appertains to me. All right? It appertains to me to preach the gospel to every creature. Look in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. And notice these folks are trying to decide what to do with the apostles who are getting quite a gathering here. It says in verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name, talking about Jesus Christ. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. Now there's a thought, is it not? Boy, whether I'm going to hearken to a guy or whether I'm going to hearken to God. Here I have God saying, go, 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 and a guy saying, no, no, no. Who am I supposed to listen to? Right? Verse 20. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I want you to know it appertains to me to preach the gospel to every creature. It appertains to me. You say, well, you're just shoving your religion down somebody else's throat. If I wanted to hear that, I'd go to church. I know my wife and I think it was Miss Grissom that were at the state fair one year, and they came home telling about this one guy who they were passing out tracts and so on. This guy said to Marcy and Teresa, they said, you Bible thumpers are a hazard to society. That's another way of saying, this appertaineth not to you. What do you think you're doing out here passing out these flyers and stuff? Well, folks pass out gum, they pass out suckers, they pass out Skittles, they pass out nonsense. Why not the gospel? Why are we the ones out of line and the guy with the Skittles isn't out of line at all? Right? I want you to know, it appertains to me to preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to know, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians 5:20. I know this is no new doctrine to most of you folks here at all, but once in a while we need to hear the trumpet blow so we can go marching, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. I want you to know it appertains to me to speak in Christ's stead. Jesus Christ no longer speaks from heaven. Jesus Christ is no longer here on this earth to speak, right? He's left us with a book. I got news for you. Jesus Christ does not speak to you through the Spirit. He may speak to you through the Spirit if you're reading the book. He'll speak to you through the Spirit if you're hearing preaching. That's right. But He doesn't speak to your spirit as you walk out across the parking lot, you know, going to the mall shopping or whatever, and say, now, you know, watch your step because you're about to step on a tack. Jesus Christ does not speak that way. Jesus Christ does not speak from heaven like that. Jesus Christ speaks from the Bible. And I want you to know that Jesus Christ speaks from the Bible through other men, okay? And ladies and gentlemen, it behooves me, it appertains to me to speak in Christ's stead. I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ. He says there in verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ as though Christ did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Now look in 1 Peter chapter 4 real quick. I want you to know it appertains to me to speak in Christ's stead. It's a remarkable verse when you stop to consider that that means that as long as I'm speaking by the Bible and as long as what I'm saying to you is applicable to your life, that it's just as good as if Jesus Christ were here speaking to you as well. Now, I want you to know the same is true of you over there on the right speaking to you over there on the left, right? If you're speaking in Christ's stead and what you're saying is true from the Bible and it is applicable to their lives, it's just as well as if Christ Himself had been speaking to you folks, right? Now look in 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and notice verse 11. 1 Peter 4:11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. But if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You know, folks say, that's just your interpretation. That's just your opinion. Well, folks, you know what? If I'm giving you my opinion, that's just my opinion. If I'm telling you, you must be born again. If I'm telling you that it's appointed unto men once to die after this is judgment, if I'm telling you that the rapture is pre-trib, if I'm telling you that there's a judgment seat of Christ that a Christian's going to stand before, and this is going to be the basis of that judgment, if I tell you there's another white throne judgment for lost folks later on, folks, it's just as if God's speaking. Because it's true. It's not my opinion. How many times have we heard somebody say, well, that's just your interpretation, and you didn't interpret anything, right? I mean, we've had that with a sign before. Somebody calls up and says, thou shalt not commit adultery. I had a guy call me up one time and said, that's just your interpretation. I didn't interpret anything. Thou shalt not commit adultery is Bible. It's a Bible statement. It's not an interpretation, right? Now look, folks, they say it's just your interpretation. It's just your opinion. No, it's not. If the Scripture is applicable to your life, and I apply the Scripture, it's just as if Christ were speaking. You know, in here, quite often with preaching and stuff, there are parts of what we say that are opinion. I mean, we base it around the Bible, right? But I try to tell you if I'm just giving you a stray opinion, right? Honestly, I can't remember the last time that I used a stray opinion on a lost guy. We're sitting around talking about salvation, right? I don't remember the last time a lost guy asked me about salvation, and I said, well, here's what I think. I just don't talk like that, right? If the guy is asking after salvation, I'm going to give him the Bible, right? Now, like I said, sometimes, you know, here with commentary and so on, I try to make you aware if I'm going to be preaching to you, and look, this is just my opinion, this is how I look at something, right? I try to do that, but I don't remember the last time that I said to a lost guy, well, here's what I think. If he asks me what I think about the Vikings, okay, I'll tell him what I think. If he asks me what I think about salvation, I'm going to give him Bible. I'm not going to say, well, here's what I think. Right? It appertains to me to speak in Christ's stead. It appertains to me. All right, there's something else I wanted you to see. Look in Revelation 19. I'll be wrapping it up here pretty quick. Revelation chapter 19. See, they will accuse you of presumption. They'll try to make you feel sheepish. They'll accuse you so that you will hopefully go jump under the couch and quit talking to them. That is not what you're called to do. Not in these things. It does appertain to you. You should not run back to the palace with leprosy rising in your forehead or feeling like a leper because you have done what God said do. Right? It appertains to you. All right, look in Revelation 19 real quick. Revelation 19. And go down to verse 10. I fell at his feet to worship. He said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Here's what I want. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You know what? It appertains to me to tell you at some level or another what the future holds. Right? As a Christian, it appertains to me to make sure the world knows that there are some events coming. I know what those events are. There's a great tribulation coming. There's a rapture coming before that. There is a great destruction coming after that. Armageddon, right? It appertains to me to know what the future holds. Now, you know what? Sometimes I don't do too good with somebody walks up and asks me, well, what do you think about this? What do you think is going to happen to me? Well, you know what? Sometimes I don't know. But I'll tell you what, there are some things in the Word of God sometimes where I've said before, where somebody gets off track or whatever, I've said, this is what's going to happen. And sure enough, it does. Now, folks, that doesn't make me a great prophet. That makes me a Bible reader, right? Most of the great prophets spoke when God spake in their ears and they spoke. Nowadays, God speaks in our ears through this. You know what? If you'll read Proverbs and look around at mankind some, you'll get to say, that guy right there is on a path to destruction. That guy's going to be dead within 10 years if he doesn't change. Right? And sure enough, it happens. Folks, it behooves me, it appertains to me to know something of the future. Of the rapture, yes. Of the tribulation, yes. Of the second coming of Christ, yes. But also in many regards, in many of our lives. When I say it's appointed unto man once to die, you know what that means? It means you're going to die and I'm going to die. And after this, the judgment. That means we're all going to stand before God one day, right? It appertains to me. It appertains to me. And you know what, moms and dads, you can look at your kid sometimes. You can see sometimes your kid is cruising for bruising, right? And you can say, look, you keep on this track, you're going to get it upside the head pretty quick. And sure enough, he gets it upside the head pretty quick. What does that make you? It makes you a prophet. Now, you know why? Because you have the Spirit of God in you. You're trying to raise that kid by the Bible. And so in some respects, you are a prophet in that right, in that way. Sometimes you're wrong. Sometimes it doesn't work out that way. But I'm telling you, folks, that it behooves me to tell something about the future. I have one last thing, and you don't have to turn in the Bible to this. This goes back to the text. I want you to know that it behooves me, it appertains to me, to avail myself of my standing with God. What I mean by that is King Uzziah goes into the holy place. He goes in and offers incense all by himself. It's not his job. He's not a Levite. He's not a priest. He's a king. He's got other things to do that he should be doing, right? Now, you know what, folks? The Bible says that the Lord hath made me a king and a priest unto God, right? And I want you to know it does appertain to me to avail myself of my relationship with God. King Uzziah had no business in the temple at all. He had no business going within that veil. He was not supposed to be in there. I want you to know I belong in the veil. Okay, the Bible says that the Lord made a way for me, a living way, through that veil, which is to say, His flesh. I am called at this hour to go before God, to go in the Holy of Holies by the mercy seat, and to sit there and to pray and to know God personally, right? It wasn't that many years ago for some of you that you knelt outside of God's throne room, outside of His castle. You were across the moat, across the drawbridge, on the other side of the alligators and everything. And there was no way in this world that you had access to get in before the throne of God, right? I want you to know now, as a child of God, you walk across the drawbridge, and you not only walk into the throne room, you can get right at Jesus Christ's feet and it's where you belong. You know why? Because you're his kid. And you know, none of you have made the mistake, you know, if I'm home in my study, studying away and so on, most of you don't just come walking in, kick the door in and say, hey, here I am, right? Because you should at least knock. Man, all my kids at one point or another have come blaring in when I was in the midst of waxing eloquent on paper, boy. I was putting it together. Those kids come in. You know why they can do that? Because they're my kid. And you know what? You should take advantage of that. It appertains to you to get close to God because you have the right to get close to God because He's your Father. Yes, you're a king. Yes, you're a priest. But more importantly, you are a son. I don't know how long it's been since you were at the throne. I don't know how long it's been since you went in and got close, apologized, and talked to your Father. But I know you should. And I know if you don't before the day's out, you've done the Lord wrong today. It appertains to me to avail myself of my relationship with God. And part of that relationship is like these other things I've been talking about. Part of my relationship with God is I'm a prophet. I'm supposed to know some things about the future. I'm supposed to tell some things about the future. I'm a preacher. I mean, I am a witness. I am supposed to tell folks that there is a hell that burns hot. And there's a heaven that's awfully, awfully sweet. Amen? And there's a way to know how to get there. Absolutely. But it appertains to me to avail myself of my relationship with God. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Now, Father, thank you for your goodness to us here this morning. We've talked this morning about King Uzziah, who availed himself in some things that did not appertain to him. He, of course, Lord, as you know so well, paid the price for them. Leprosy rose up in his forehead. He abode a leper for the rest of his life. Father, I don't know exactly all the judgments you bestow upon men here who do wrong and cross the threshold of presumption. But Father, I know some things that we are supposed to be doing that are not presumption at all. I pray you'd give Christians here some backbone. I pray you'd help us to avail ourselves of the things that we're supposed to be doing, Father. May we not ever be driven under the couch or under the rug by the accusations of foolish men, Father, who do not know and do not understand. Help us to do what we're supposed to do. It appertains to us, Lord. If there's somebody here that's never trusted Christ, I pray you'd deal with their hearts. They need to trust Him, Father. Most folks in this room would raise their hands and say without question, I know I am saved. I know when I got saved, and I know how I got saved, and I know I'm saved. If there's somebody that's not like that, I pray you deal with their hearts. Help them to come, Father. We believe that we have the answers here. In fact, we know we do. And so we ask that you would earnestly deal with folks in their hearts here today. In Jesus' name. Let's look this way. We're going to sing number 309. 309. 309. moment here. And you know, one of the things that led me to preach this morning is I know folks think of this as the holiday season, the Christmas season and all that. When I think about that, I think about, you know, how much time you wind up spending this time of the year with employees at Christmas parties and with, of course, family and so on at Thanksgiving, Christmas and so on. And, you know, while it's a holiday season and festive and all those things, it is also one of the most famous seasons for the crowd, the masses, your friends, your fellow employees, your families, to drive you as a Christian underneath the couch because they believe it does not appertain to you to talk about some of the things you're called to talk about. Talking about the salvation of somebody's soul, talking about witnessing to grandpa, talking about if you're asked to pray at Christmas meal that the prayer gets a little effusive and a little evangelistic, right? They want you to shut up. They want you to go under the couch. And they want to talk about the Vikings and the Packers. They're not interested in talking about the gospel or eternal things. So while this season is a season for festivity and celebration, all those things, family, it's also a season when they say to you, it appertaineth not to you to do this and that and the other. And I want you to know that it does appertain to you. It does appertain to you. You say, well, I don't want to ruin Thanksgiving. I don't want to ruin Christmas. I don't think you will. I tell you what, it'll make Jesus Christ's Christmas if you will get a chance to witness to somebody in your family this season. Amen? Maybe you have an apology to make to the Lord. Maybe the Lord dealt with you about something here this morning. If you'd like to come, you're welcome. We're not going to pause for a long time here this morning. But it does, folks, it does appertain to you. Let's look this way. We're going to sing the final stanza. Dismissed in prayer this morning. Brother Matt Caribou, would you pray for us, please? See you folks tonight at 6:00.